Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Friends, we're still looking for snow here. Everybody in Dallas has it, but we don't. And back east, they're catching it. I'm telling you, our trees are dying and our lawns are just brown. Well, we hope and pray that we'll get a real snowstorm soon because our water supplies are getting low. Well, friends, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's our thought for the day. What do atheists do with money? Surely they wouldn't carry anything that says, "In God we trust." Tonight, I have labeled this message, "What's so important about the rapture?" Well, beloved, I'll guarantee you, I'm glad there is such a thing as a rapture, because if there wasn't, I would be wasting my time tonight preaching to you. And I'd like to read to you from 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And then also in Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I give every man according as his work shall be." Jesus, who died and rose again, will come again. His burial and resurrection offer eternal life. Now, these are the ingredients of the gospel found in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. "For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." It is so very important that you believe that. His return will fulfill his promise found in John 14, 1 and 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a promise. God promised that. You know what? Remember during World War II, all of you old people? You remember when General MacArthur over in the Philippine Islands, he told the Philippine people he would return. Well, he did return with a whole bunch of Marines, Navy, and Army men with him, of course. And I know I hate to say this, but it's true. You know, Douglas MacArthur's family owned 3 or 4 distilleries in the island of the Philippines. Yeah, and I suppose that's why he wanted to protect him. But anyway, his return for his church is called the Rapture. Now you say, all right, Cecil, wait a minute now. I belong to the Mormon Church, or I belong to the JWs, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a Catholic. Does that mean us? Uh-uh. No. Oh, beloved, no. It doesn't mean you. It is only those of us who have repented of our sins and have received Christ as Savior, and our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. We are the ones that he's going to rapture. We belong to the true church. There's no true church here on this earth. And you show me a perfect church, and there ain't no such a thing. Nope. There's no perfect preachers, including your speaker. Oh, that shocked some of you, didn't you? No, I'm not perfect. But, oh, I serve one who is. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's who we have to worship. If you want to get to heaven, you got to get acquainted with him. How do you get acquainted with him? By repenting, turning your back on the old way of life, and inviting him in to your heart. That is when you're born again. Why is focusing on the rapture so important? Well, many focus on the time of the rapture. Oh, beloved, anytime you hear a pastor, a preacher, a denomination telling you that they've got it figured out, the day he comes, you are listening to a false prophet. Only God the Father knows when that time will come. Just remember that. If you hear, say, well, now we see signs of the time. Sure we do. But the day, hey, you know, 1 year is 1,000 years or a million years. Oh, many. I don't want to go into that. But many focus on the details of the tribulation, which follows the rapture. We need a new focus on the rapture itself. Why is this true? Well, the rapture will bring resurrection. I read in 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, so that there's going to be a trump sounding, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a big old cloud there, Jesus standing on it with his outstretched arms, saying, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. I've got a cousin in the Dalles, May, and May is afraid to fly. Well, you won't have to fear no more, May, because you're going to fly this time without even anything, just zippo. Now, the thing is, now there's going to be some, the Bible said, are going to be two in the field. One will be left and one will leave. That's right. Now, the one that was left is the one that refused to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, read Paul's great chapter on the resurrection, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, here is the importance of the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith in vain. Ye are not in your sins. Then also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, here's the importance of the resurrection of believers. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now the resurrection is our comfort when we lose loved ones. Oh, my dear friends, I want you to know, I remember when my mom passed away, and see, I was not a Christian. I didn't know the Lord. And my mom was a Christian, and my dad was a Christian. And I didn't know the Lord when my dad died. I didn't know the Lord when my sister died. But I do know this. After I found out, I found Christ, or I should say Christ found me as my Lord and Savior, then it all came together. Why, Cecil, you ding-dong, you're going to get to see your mom and your dad and your two brothers and your two sisters. The Moes are going to have a reunion. But then I want to go up, and I want to throw my arms around Jesus, and I want to hug him and say, oh, God, if it hadn't been for you, I would have never, never, never known this Jesus. I would have never got to go to heaven. Well, the resurrection is our comfort when we lose loved ones. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. You know what? I have preached lots and lots and lots of funerals. And I want you to know, when that person in that casket is a Christian, it's so much easier to preach. Because you know that their suffering is over. You know where they're going when they die. Well, the Bible also, the resurrection will take place at the rapture, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Well, where's 52? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, every visit to a cemetery should remind us of the coming rapture. Let me ask you, have you experienced the comfort found in the promise of the resurrection at the rapture? The rapture will bring recovery. 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. Living believers will be caught up in a moment. Now, the magnetic moment will change for us. Oh, my dear friends, let me tell you, What a joy. We will be like Jesus. We will recover what Adam and Eve, our great-grandparents, lost. We will have perfect bodies unhindered by pain. Hey, you that's had a cancer operation lately. Hey, you who have had a heart attack. Hey, you who was in a car wreck. And you suffered and you hurt. You hurt all over. I've had many operations. I know what I'm talking about. But boy, howdy, when you get to heaven, you will never have another pain. Never have another disappointment. Never have another heartache. We'll never lose a loved one. Never lose your job. Because we're going to be different. We will have perfect minds, no longer affected by the fall. We will have no more sickness, sorrow, or death. Can you believe that? Oh, listen. All creation awaits what will be revealed on that wonderful day. Oh, my stars. It reads in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Creation still groans because of the fall. Then creation will glory in what God has done for His people. You know, it tells us in Revelation 22:12 that the rapture will actually bring a reward. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Listen, beloved, we do not work for rewards, but He rewards those who work for Him. Oh, can you believe? Listen to that. This is good news, beloved. You say, "Well, Cecil, I don't know." Well, if you're not saved, it's not good news. Of course not. But I think you're too intelligent to sit there tonight listening to this broadcast and say, "I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell." Friends, hell, that's eternal hell. Oh, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Read the story of the rich man. Read the story of... Now, here was a young man, very wealthy, very happy. But one day he got a thinking, "You know what? I'd like to talk to this Jesus." So he said, "Well, Lord, what do I have to do to gain eternal life?" Otherwise, he wants to buy his way in or work his way in. Well, I said, "Keep the commandments and all this." And he said, "Yeah, well, I've done that from the beginning." No, you haven't. First of all, you're a liar. Nobody can keep the Ten Commandments and expect to go to heaven. It just isn't going to happen. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot go." Now Christ will come bringing rewards with Him. Rewards for what? Faithful service for our Lord will be rewarded. Now I'm thinking of two gals there in the Dalles, Millie and Marie. Bless their hearts, 2 days a week, they pack their little handbags with cookies and candy and goodies. And they go out to these rest homes where those dear old people are there to die, many of them. No one seems to care. Did you know that those two ladies are an arm of the church? They're doing a lot more sometimes than the church are doing. Why, I know this one particular woman whose roof's been leaking for I don't know how long. But nobody in the church would ever go by and help her fix it. She can't afford to fix it because she can't afford a new roof. Oh, man. If I were a pastor of a church like that, there'd be somebody out there fixing that woman's roof. That's New Testament Christianity. We don't see much of it anymore, do we? Well, and we're also rewarded for overcoming temptation and steadfastness in trials will be rewarded. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised him, that love him. Looking for and loving our Lord's appearing will be rewarded. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all that loves his appearing. Friends, let's live in an anticipation that the day is coming soon. Friends, let me ask you, are you ready for the rapture? You can't be ready for the rapture until your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Jesus' precious blood has to forgive all your sins. And after he forgives them, what does he do with them? He casts them in a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be remembered again. That's what he did for you. Have you trusted Christ as Savior today? What rewards await you when your Lord returns? Friends, he's coming back, and he's coming soon. Don't know when, don't set no date. But I'll tell you everything right now. If you have seen so much unrest in the world today, every nation, now there's Korea threatening us with atomic bomb, and then there's the other countries, they're threatening us with bombs, and then over in Greece, and you name it, they're fighting and they're fussing. America is more divided today than at any time in the history of our world. Do you know when America came together? The day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. America came together, and America is one of the greatest nations in the world. That flag is the most beautiful flag I've ever seen. I thank God I'm an American. Oh, beloved, listen. Would you like to trust Jesus today? You say, Cecil, I got a knot in my chest tonight. I got a tugging in my heart. Then would you bow your head to me right now? Please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Oh, dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my wayward life. So sorry what I did to you and my loved ones. Tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and then inviting you in to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, won't you call 303-471-8534? Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down right and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned that your sins are under the blood of the Lamb. For without their shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, if you can't afford this call, you get on the phone. You call me, collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I am waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please hold me and my wife in prayer that God will open doors for us to share Christ Pray for my tape ministries. Pray for my books and my things that I send out free. You say, oh, you're one of those preachers who sell things. No, I don't. I give them away. Why? Because I love you. I really do. I want you to have what the Lord gave me so many years ago. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.